How do you do? Mental illness carries a stigma that lingers long after the illness is gone. Just ask the woman in this story. How to describe the darkness that enveloped her, how to fight its power over her. She could do neither, not until her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Why, Jenny, what are you doing home so early? Is something wrong?
Yes.
What?
I don't know, Mom.
Should I call the doctor?
No, it's not that.
What then?
I don't know.
But aren't you supposed to be at work?
I quit my job.
You quit your job? But you've only been there 3 months.
I know.
Why? What's wrong?
I just couldn't take it anymore.
Take what, honey?
I don't know, Mom. Please don't ask me any more questions. I just want to be alone right now.
This is Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in history. True life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people could easily say, "We stumble at noonday as in the night, stumbling because of fatigue or the fear of their yesterday's failures." Coming to Pacific Garden Mission is such a break from their tedious existence. The chance to be clean, showers and fresh clothing, nutritious meals, a bunk with clean sheets. What comfort they find at the old lighthouse, even a medical and dental clinic to heal their wounds. All thanks to faithful friends who send financial gifts to keep the door open to lost and hurting souls. That's what the mission is all about, sharing the good news of God's redemption, the chance to be clean on the inside. That cleansing and restoration is what this program is all about. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3119 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
I'm worried about Jenny, quitting her job so unexpectedly for no reason.
She's young, just going through a phase.
No. She's not like herself, Adam. She's more withdrawn than ever.
She's always been quiet. Kind of like me, somewhat of a loner.
Yes, yes, but this is different. She's 18 now. 18-year-olds don't stay in their room day and night. It's almost as if she's hiding.
From what?
I wish I knew.
Well, there's not much we can do about it. She'll come out in time. I did.
I'm not so sure. She may need professional help if she's in a depression.
You think?
Yes. Yes, I think she's in a depression. How else do you explain her behavior?
I went through something like that when I was her age. I got through it. She will, too.
She needs help, Adam. I don't want her to do something desperate, like take her own life.
Jenny had fallen into a pit of darkness. We'll let her describe how she was rescued. We're not using her real name, but this is her true testimony, told in the hope that others will be unshackled.
Mine was a great family, stable and loving. Dad was an accountant for the railroad, and Mom was a homemaker, always there for me and my older brother. We lived in the Midwest and traveled every month to visit our grandparents, all of whom lived in Illinois. Ours was a godly Christian home with church and Sunday school every week. But I had been a sickly child with a physical problem from birth.
Jenny has a temperature this morning.
Again?
Yes, 103. I better take her to the doctor.
It's never anything contagious, like the flu, just a high fever.
It's probably another bladder infection.
Good thing we have health insurance.
Oh, yes. I just wish they'd find out what's causing the infections.
Better keep her home from school.
She won't like that.
She's a smart kid. She'll do okay.
I'll see what the doctor says and drop her at school if he agrees.
Well, I have to get to work. Let me know what happens.
We didn't know what was wrong, but I had periodic high fevers and bladder infections from the time I was born. Mom always took care of me, but she went to work when I was 12 so my brother and I could go to a private parochial school. In spite of the occasional high fevers, I did well in school, had many friends, and graduated when I was 18.
So, daughter, what now?
Work, I guess. I have a job lined up, Dad.
Good. I hope it pays well.
Well, secretarial work doesn't pay well, but it's all I can do.
You won the state championship in shorthand, so you'll do fine.
Well, it's a start.
You can work your way up, Jenny. I didn't like my job at first, but I adjusted, and I worked hard.
She starts next week, Adam.
I hope I don't get another infection and have to stay home.
Trust in the Lord, honey, and you'll do fine.
But I didn't do fine, nor did I fit in, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. Feeling different, I failed to socialize with coworkers, so they avoided me, which fed my gloomy spirit. Every day, I liked my job less and less. I had ostracized myself. And finally, I quit. Mom tried to reach out to me as I floundered.
Any plans today, Jenny?
Nope.
I have some errands to run. Come along. We'll stop by the library.
No, I don't feel like it, Mom.
What about going to the shopping center?
No, thanks.
Jenny, you need to get out more.
Why?
It isn't good for you to stay in your room so much.
I'll go to church on Sunday.
Honey, why don't you see a psychiatrist?
Oh, I don't really feel like that either, Mom.
You have to do something to get out of the melancholy you're in, honey. It's not getting any better, is it?
No, it isn't.
I've prayed about this, Jenny, and I feel it's what the Lord would have us do. I'll go with you the first time.
I wasn't functional enough to argue, and I knew Mom had my best interest at heart. She and Dad loved me and prayed faithfully for me all of the time. The psychiatrist was very kind, but I couldn't talk about the dark things buried so deep in my soul. I couldn't even see them, let alone talk about them.
Yes, Mom?
Jenny, your doctor just called. Did you know he was dropping you from his patient list?
No.
He said you wouldn't talk to him. Why, honey?
I can't, Mom, not even to you.
How do you expect to get well if you don't talk about what's bothering you?
I don't know what it is. Life is so meaningless. There's just darkness.
Well, I'll get you an appointment with his partner then. Are you willing to try him?
Oh, I guess.
Dear Lord, I don't understand what's happening to my beautiful daughter. But you know, God. You created her. You created our minds. And I pray that you will help her come out of this depression that grips her so badly. Give us the strength to stick with her through this difficult time. Thank you, Lord, for your comfort to us from your word. Amen.
I wasn't saved at the time, but I trusted in my parents' relationship with the Lord, and I knew that they loved me deeply. I didn't like the partner, and he didn't like me either, but I kept going to see him because I didn't know what else to do. And later, I learned that he didn't like talk therapy, so he prescribed meds and then put me in a local private hospital.
Your daughter is not responding to medication, so I've decided to try electroconvulsive therapy.
Shock therapy? That's so harsh.
Isn't it painful?
Don't be alarmed. We've found that cerebral stimulation can be beneficial in cases like Jenny's. Her depression is more intractable than some.
Don't you think time will bring her out of it?
Sometimes. But are you willing to take that chance?
No. No, we'd like to see her healed. Back to her old self.
Exactly. She's missing some of the best years of her life, when she could be preparing for a career.
How often will you do the procedure on her?
We'll see how she tolerates it. Several times a week at first, probably 6 or 8 times over the course of several months.
Does the insurance cover this treatment?
Yes, of course.
And you think this will help?
You may not see a difference right away, because there is some confusion after the treatment, even some amnesia, but ultimately, it will help.
I spent 2 years at that hospital, and my parents came to see me every day. But I didn't get better in spite of the meds and shock treatment. When the insurance money was exhausted, the psychiatrist cut his payment until my parents' savings were all gone. And then he cut me loose.
Jenny, how are you doing, honey?
I don't know.
Oh, honey, I'm so sorry this is happening to you.
I don't want to be this way, Mom.
I know. We're trying to help you.
I'm never going to be better, Mom.
Yes, you will. But we have to move you to a different hospital.
Why?
You've been here 2 years and there's no more money to pay the bills.
Well, are you going to take me home?
No. No, we're going to take you to the state hospital.
Okay, Mom. Whatever you say.
When I was taken to the state hospital, everything changed. The patients were bizarre, the regimen strict, and the doctors came only once a month. I was in a house of horrors with no way out. Even though I didn't know the Lord, I wanted him to answer my parents' prayers. I needed his help.
You're new, aren't you?
Yes.
You're here to spy on me, aren't you?
No.
I saw you talking to the nurse. She hates me, and she put you here to spy on me. I know these things.
I don't know what you're talking about.
She told me all about you. I know what you're planning to do.
You're crazy. Leave me alone.
You leave me alone, you hear? I better not get you following me or even looking at me.
Jenny, do you remember our relatives in Illinois?
Yes.
Would you like to see them again?
Yes, I'd like that.
When you're better, we can take a trip to see them.
Take me out of here, Mom.
I can't until you're well, honey.
Please, these people are so strange, so different from me.
I'm sure they are, but they can't help it, honey. They're sick.
Even the staff is strange.
Don't let anyone touch you, Jenny.
Oh, I don't, but some of them are scary.
I pray for you all the time. I know that God's going to help you get better.
Oh, but I don't like it here, Mom.
How often do you see the doctors?
What doctors?
You haven't seen a doctor?
Well, a long time ago. Last month, I think.
Oh, dear Lord. What are we going to do? It's been 4 years now.
4 years?
That you've been sick.
I don't want to be this way.
Very shortly, help would arrive for Jenny, as we'll hear in a moment. People often ask how to hear Unshackled in some other place. We publish a station log that tells everything you need to know about that, and it's free. Just write and ask for your copy. You can also go to our internet site, unshackled.org, and click on Radio Log. There you'll find a map of the world. As you click on the area that interests you, you'll be led into greater detail of the location where this program is broadcast. Each listing gives the call letters, frequency, whether AM or FM, and the day of the week and time of day that you can hear these exciting testimonies. You can let friends and family in faraway places know how they can listen and in which of the 10 languages Unshackled is broadcast. You can download this information, or you can order the free radio station log on our website. Write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org.
I was so unhappy at the state hospital, alone with no hope. I needed hope like Mom and Dad had. I still had occasional high fevers that no one could explain. I had been there 6 months when I stood at my locker one day, so very desperate for someone to rescue me, to save me. I cried out to God from the depths of my soul. Help me, God! Give me wisdom and understanding! I need you! Miraculously, the Lord heard my cry. The black film came off my mind, and I was healed in that instant, just like that. Now, I know that the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And it's true. I was like the woman who was diseased for 12 years. I knew that only Jesus could make me whole. Doctors were amazed at my transformation.
The staff tells me you're socializing, Jenny. Talking and taking an interest in others.
Yes, and I enjoy it too. I want to get out and do things again.
That's quite a change. How did you suddenly get well? We didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything. Jesus did it. He healed me. It was like a black film came off my mind and his light came in. Like the man in the Bible who was born blind, Jesus gave him sight and saving faith, just as he did me. And the Bible says, the man cried, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." I could explain it no other way. All the credit goes to God. I knew I was changed, but I had a lot to learn about people. My parents were elated to see the change in me, and I went home again. And then the assistant manager of the Mental Health Association needed a volunteer to do clerical work, so I volunteered for 6 months.
Your work has been fine, Jenny. I have no complaints at all.
Well, I've heard that a paid position is now available, a full-time job, and I'd like to apply for it.
You want to work here full-time?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Jenny, but we can't have anyone on staff who's had a history of mental illness.
But you know that I'm well now.
I'm very sorry, but we can't consider you for the job. But you're welcome to stay on as a volunteer.
Disappointed, I continued my unpaid work there and felt no jealousy toward the woman who got the job. I worked with her as a servant to the Lord. Because I wouldn't lie on applications about my mental illness, I couldn't get a job that paid. But I was grateful to God to be free of the depression and free to love others as He taught by His life in the Bible. I continued learning to socialize.
Going out?
Yes, with Abby. Remember her from high school?
I do. She's a nice girl.
Yes, she visited me all of the years I was in the hospital. And you never forget that kind of genuine concern.
No. Hang on to friends like that.
We're going to a collegiate club. The guys have to be college graduates.
But not the girls.
No. Maybe I'll meet a nice guy.
I'm glad you feel well again, Jenny.
Actually, I feel kind of sick again, Mom. I hope it's not another bladder infection. In addition to my mental problems, the mysterious recurring infections had persisted, leaving me run down. Nevertheless, I went out with my friend, and that's how I met Harry. He had gone to the School of Mines, and we liked each other right away and started dating.
I'm glad you feel comfortable enough to share your story with me, Jenny.
Well, if it weren't for the Lord, I wouldn't be able to talk, let alone describe what happened.
It really was a miracle, wasn't it?
Well, there's no other explanation. God cleared my mind the way the morning sun clears away fog.
Except this was a different sun. It was done by the Son of God.
Yes. I always knew about Jesus because I grew up going to church. I just never knew him personally. What a difference it makes knowing him face to face, so to speak.
Like a friend. A good friend.
Yeah. There's a proverb that says something about a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That has to be Jesus. Harry became a good friend, too. We dated for 6 months, and I knew that I loved him and wanted to marry him. And then I fell ill again with a high fever, and the doctor put me in the hospital.
Hello, beautiful patient.
Harry, how sweet of you to visit.
Well, I called your home, and your mom said you were here. What's wrong?
Well, ever since I was born, I've been getting sick with a high fever. Sometimes as high as 106.
Good grief. I'm surprised you don't have brain damage.
Well, the doctors never knew the cause until now. I have a bad kidney that kept causing bladder infections.
Can they fix it?
Well, they're going to remove it since we have two kidneys. I can survive with just one.
Hey, maybe that contributed to your depression.
Well, it didn't help. Doctors say it's been poisoning my whole body.
I'm glad there's a permanent fix, Jenny.
Harry was so good for me. Later, he told me it was during that visit in the hospital that he decided to marry me. We were engaged, and Mom helped me plan a beautiful wedding. I had kept myself pure for my husband. After our marriage, Harry and I lived in an apartment in St. Louis. And then 5 years later, when our son was born, we moved to the suburbs. That's when problems came anew, this time from my mother-in-law.
Mom was here today, wasn't she?
Yes, how did you know?
She leaves a big footprint on you, so to speak.
Well, I guess you would know, having grown up with her.
Don't let her get you down, Jenny.
Well, she's a big help with the baby, but...
But what?
She picks me apart. I feel like I can't do anything right.
Don't let her do that to you, Jenny. You are a wonderful wife and mother, and I love you.
Well, I grew up with such loving parents, I don't know what to say when she's so critical.
What did she say?
That I wasn't bathing him right, not using the right detergent to wash his clothes, shouldn't pick him up when he cries. She goes on and on and on.
You don't have to put up with that, Jenny. This is our home, not hers. Our baby, not hers.
But there's so much I don't know, Harry. I thought she could help me learn, and I wanted to please her by letting her show me.
She likes to control others, Jenny. Your trust is in the Lord. Lean on Him.
But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, Lord, I guess maybe I shouldn't say anything to her. Just forgive. My mother-in-law was an insecure, jealous person who took charge of my life, and I let her until I almost lost myself. I didn't know how to stand up to her, so I joined a support group and also went back to see the first psychiatrist, the one I didn't talk to about my depression.
You've come a long way, Jenny. You're nothing like the girl I met years ago.
Well, I still haven't learned to stand up to people that hurt me. My religion teaches forgiveness.
You can forgive without being a doormat. I don't know about your Bible, but I'm a Jew, and my Bible is full of examples of people who stood up to their adversaries.
Really?
Yes. David didn't yield to Goliath. He said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied."
And he defeated the giant.
The old prophets were the same way. Elijah stood up to Jezebel.
I see what you mean.
Stand up for what is right. If you let people walk all over you, in time you'll be filled with resentment. And if you suppress that, you make yourself ill.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Finally, through Bible study, several support groups, and talking with the psychiatrist who became a special friend to me, I learned to stand up for what I believed to be right and to not let people stay in my life who hurt me.
Jenny, you seem so much happier these days.
I'm very happy, Mom.
I was worried for a while.
I'm learning to handle things better.
The support group you talked about is helping then?
Yes. I've learned from them that everyone has problems, and I'm learning to avoid stress. I stay away from my mother-in-law, even though through her, I learned such a valuable lesson.
Well, she's missing a lot. How's Harry dealing with this?
Oh, he's faithful to the Lord and to me, Mom. He knows what she's like.
Maybe God allows people like that in our lives to teach us, to draw us closer to Him.
I'm sure that's true. But you also have to learn that it's a fallen world, and you can't let others control your life.
It's a fine line, isn't it?
What?
Standing up for yourself, yet being like Jesus.
Well, he stood up to his adversaries, the devil, the Pharisees, and the money changers in the temple.
Well, he was no ordinary man. He was truly the Son of God.
Yes.
I love the scripture that says, He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
We're supposed to be like him. I have a long way to go, but I'm trying.
Speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end."
Are you enjoying that new ministry at the church?
Oh, making flower arrangements for the church? Yes, I'm making them for other churches too, besides ours.
So how many churches want your flower arrangements?
6.
Wow.
They give them to shut-ins and the sick and the elderly.
You have a special talent, honey.
Oh, I love to bring joy to others, because God comforted me when I was down.
What would we do without Jesus?
I wouldn't have survived without him.
Second Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 say, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." That's why I'm sharing my testimony.
We love him because he first loved us. That includes you, listening friend. God's great love for you sent Jesus to the cross, where he died for your sins. But he rose on the third day, victorious over sin and death. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you need help in seeking salvation through Jesus Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. A listener writes, "I always receive a revelation from these testimonies. We hope you let the manager of this radio station know these things. Call or write to say thanks for broadcasting Unshackled." This is program number 3119, heard in the true story of a woman called Jenny, where Connie Foster, Trish Elliott, Jamie Barron, Dale Roberts, and Jamie Newell. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. The engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. I'm Don Stroop. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Hearing from you is a highlight of our day, so please communicate soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Troubled? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.